Would you speak to us? For we need your presence, we need your heart, and we need your love. Would you come tonight? In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, we've had an amazing series so far with Pastor Dana coming in and kind of launching us into this series on prayer. Pastor John touching on the Father. We had Matt Donahue last week kind of talking about is God is good. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking on I need help. As I began to pray on this, I was like, God, I need help. I need help in preaching this. I need help in crafting this. And then I began to realize, well, isn't that talking, that communicating the heart of God? We've been looking at this, the Lord's Prayer, from the Luke section of things, where the disciples asked Jesus, would you teach us to pray? Tonight, I'm going to briefly hit on one of the ones that we know of the Lord's Prayer, and this is the section from the Sermon on the Mount. The beautiful thing is, Jesus was on the countryside, and the people all gathered there, and he sat them down and began to teach them. And it's very interesting that in teaching them, he also taught the multitude to pray. Many times in the religious traditions, it's as if the ones that come up here on the stage are the ones that can pray. They pray in Latin. They pray in a dialect and in a way that the commoners may not be able to pray in. It brings social status, right? But here Jesus on the mount begins to say, no, I want you to learn to pray, and I want you to pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven. It's a beautiful moment. If you want to go ahead and put it on the screen, we all know the Lord's Prayer, but I just want this as a backdrop. And I want you to imagine yourself at this place. It's right off the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. I actually got to reenact the Beatitudes there, and it's a beautiful place. Just imagine yourself on that mountain, and you're looking at Jesus. And Jesus, as we see in Matthew, he's giving a lot of information, being about salt and light, sowing and reaping, the Beatitudes, about being humble. And then he says, do not pray as the heathens do with vain repetitions, thinking they're going to be heard for the many words that they pray. But pray in this way. For your Father who is in heaven knows the very things you have need of before you even ask him. Right then and there, there's a barrier that's ripped out. Pastor John kind of spoke about that in taking that text and saying, wait a second, he's upturning the whole religious order by allowing the commoners to come into a place where only the religious leaders had. And now right here and now, we have the ability to interact with God the Father in such a personal, direct way. It says at the very end that the people were just captivated and the anointing rested. I can imagine after the hours of hearing Jesus preach in awe that one of the things is I can have a relationship with God in the same way. And in Matthew 6:8, it says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need of before you ask him. Some might question, should we even pray? What's the point? The very thought, though, when my daughter begins to cry, being a good father, I'm trying to anticipate my 5-month-old's daughter's cries. Is she hungry? Did she mess in her diaper? Does she need to just be with somebody? I'm trying to anticipate her needs. That's what the Lord is doing. He's anticipating our needs. He's knowing our needs, and he's saying, beloved, I love you so much. I care about you so much. I'm anticipating what you need. You need finances? I want to bless you in that. Let me show you how I can provide. You need someone that comforts you? I'm going to give you Holy Spirit. You need joy? I'm going to provide joy. It's this beautiful dichotomy of the Father wanting to bless us. And there's a relationship. Pastor John talked a little bit about that, about the Father wanting a relationship with his sons and daughters. I want to take you now to our main text of John 2, verse 1. And this is the wedding of Cana. This is such a beautiful story. Now, I've been born and raised in this region in Hampton Roads. And one of the mainstay of kind of the Easter has been kind of the passion performances. I used to go and see The Man Called Jesus, TMCJ. Many of you may have heard of it from years gone by. And then I was so enthralled, I joined the cast and crew. And for several years, I played an integral part of this wonderful stage, off-Broadway stage production in the area. Over 350 just cast members, not including the crew. One of my favorite parts was the wedding of Cana. They did an amazing job, and we had pottery everywhere. We had people and dancers and celebration. I really felt like I was in an authentic first century wedding. And then as my character's looking around and thinking, wait a second, we've lost the most important beverage, Jesus shows up on the scene. Let's go ahead and look at it in verse 1 of John 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me in this?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water, that it had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside, and he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. One of the first things I want to look at is the invitation in verse 2. Jesus was invited into this place. He was invited into what some didn't know yet, what was a problem, an issue, but he was invited. 2, there was a request, verse 3. Mary petitioned Jesus. And Jesus did say, wait a second, why are you bringing me on this? It's not my hour. But there was a petition, there was a draw, because there was a relationship there, a built of trust and a bond. That takes us to trust. Mary put faith into Jesus that he would address the issue. She didn't doubt. There was just this confidence. Jesus, she says this, "Do whatever Jesus said." I can imagine her just kind of turning around. "Do whatever Jesus said. He's got you." Can we do that in our prayer life? Jesus, go ahead and do what you need to do. I'm going to focus here. That's based upon covenant. Right now, we're studying this book, Before Amen, by Max Licato. He has a really good quote in this particular chapter. It's going to come up on the screen for you. It says, "Most of us can take our problems to Christ, but leave them there for good with faith. Again, let Mary be our model. She took her problem to Jesus and left it there. Whatever he says to you, do it. Resist the urge to reclaim the problem once you've given it up." Isn't that the thing? We want to take it back. It's like we put it on the altar, then yet we take it back. It's like being an Indian giver. We take it back. But that's the point. We need to let it go into the arms and the hands of God and trust him in it. Now here's the hard part in the answer. In the answer, in the response, we struggle. I don't know about you, but how many of you have prayed a prayer and you've been so God's going to do it. God's going to do it. He's got to do it. And you're very meticulous about the way it's got to be. And then God answers the prayer, and it's not exactly what you thought. As a matter of fact, you might even get angry at God and saying, hey, this wasn't the deal. And then maybe some time comes by, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, and all of a sudden you look back. You know, they say hindsight's 20/20. You look back and you're like, oh, wow, God, you were good. God, you were faithful. Matter of fact, if you would have answered that prayer just like I asked you to do, it would have destroyed me, right? Would have destroyed me. There's times, and for you guys, bless your heart, you get to see my life a little bit through the eyes of my five-month-old daughter. Right now, she's in front of me constantly. But there's many times that she's reaching out. Right now, she's reaching out for the food. We went out to dinner earlier, and she was, like, reaching out for my food, chips. If I would have given her one of my chips, it would have destroyed her. It would have destroyed her because her body isn't yet created to handle that type of food. It's very difficult for me to explain that to her. She might think I'm mean, withholding, but I'm being a good father in trying to anticipate her needs, trying to love on her in a way that I can take care of her and that she can grow. So therefore, I'm not giving her that chip. I'm going to give her something else, something more beneficial. It might be a bottle. It might be milk, because that's all she can handle right now. But the Lord gives us his best for us. Matthew 7:9-11, it says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In the answer, in the receiving, there's no temper tantrums. I'm guilty of this. I am guilty of this. Lord, what? No, no, we can't do this. Matter of fact, Lord, I'm not going to give you tithes. Oh, okay, you said that about giving. Okay. Well, I'm not going to pray. Oh, that hurts me. Okay. I'm not going to read my Bible. Oh, that hurts me too. But you start bargaining with God. You get in a tantrum. That's not what I wanted. That's not what I wanted. I began to pray about this. God, no tantrums. You know what he directed me to? Jonah. In Jonah 4:1, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Became angry. You know, in Sunday school, we talk a lot about Jonah. He was a prophet. He got a message from the Lord. He disobeyed. He didn't want to do it. And so then, you know, he went overboard on the ship, got swallowed up by a whale or a big fish, depending on what translation. The miracle is he survived. He went to the people and, you know, they repented. Yeah. That was a great story. That's kind of what we're learned. But chapter four, he was displeased with God. Now, this part I loved. Even though he was displeased with God, he still talked with God. And even though God knew that he was displeased with him, God still in relationship with Jonah said, let's talk about this. Let's process this. This is one of the hard parts. Because when we process and dialogue with God, I know I'm going to lose. Because God is God, right? So many of us don't want to process with God because we know what that dialogue is going to look like. It's going to be like, wait a second, did you obey me in this? Because that's what I asked. I asked for humility. I asked for your time. I asked for this. And yet, we're angry with God. I want to read Jonah chapter 4 because this gives us a really big picture. Verse 1, it's not on your screen because I want you to just listen to it and process in it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, was it not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Oh, wait a second. He's saying, God, you're great. I love you. You're good. Now kill me. Kill me. What? What selfishness is that? Because you already know that when you talk and process with the Lord, you're going to lose. Wrong answer. And God in his graciousness actually dialogues with him. And he says, the Lord says, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, so they might see what came of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head, to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned for the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished for death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up at night and perished at night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? That's how it ends. That Jonah is asking for death again, because he actually sees a city in repentance. He actually sees a city in revival. Isn't that the message that he was told to give? That was the prayer. And yet he wanted the judgment. Sometimes when we pray for judgment and we don't see it, God in his graciousness is withholding that judgment for our sakes. Because if that in our heart is released, then that judgment is also on us. Jesus says, don't judge lest you be judged in the same standard and measure. And here Jonah, he's struggling in the answer. He's struggling in the process. And as our title, he needs help. One of the purposes, as we're talking about pocket prayers, is something to pull out when you're in need. Something when you're in distress, perhaps. A prayer that can sustain you when you don't necessarily have the time. Max Lucado says this, there's a problem that's presented, prayer answered, and crisis avoided. Sometimes pocket prayers do that. We look at the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes it's a moment that we can just pray. Now in Romans 8, 26 through 28, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through worldly groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, these pocket prayers aren't a substitute for time spent with God. These pocket prayers in these moments are times when we might be in distress, that we might not have the time to be able to sit there for 2 hours and be before God and saying, God, I need help. But it's those moments when you're in such a crisis and there's nothing else you can do but say, oh, God. And inside our hearts, the Holy Spirit just pours out to the Spirit of God and it connects. There's a song by Israel Houghton, To Worship You I Live. In one of his sections of that, he says, when you don't know how to say it, you just go, oh. And there's a section of the song, and you just sing, oh. In worship, sometimes we're like, why are there those ohs in there? That's not scripture. I don't see David singing, oh. And sometimes we're just like, well, bless God. I don't see that. And then you see someone up over here, and they're just crying. And they're just singing that, oh. That's what's happening. that O is coming out and Holy Spirit's taking over. And there's just this download and the release. And God's like, I got you. I got you. In February, those of you that kind of know me a little bit, in February, I lost my mom. The day before I found out that I lost my mom, I had this moment of great grief that came over me very suddenly, and it was for my dad, who I lost 5 years before. And my wife is hugging me, and out from deep within me, this great cry of anguish. And friends, it was a nasty cry. It wasn't it was a nasty cry. But in that moment, every single thing within me that was, God, I need you. God, heal this brokenness. God, would you just touch me, because I need you in this moment. It came out. And you know what? My father answered. He answered like I've never felt before. And I'm just overwhelmed right now with just the love of my Abba. And if you've yet to experience that love, it's here. And he wants to walk with you daily. It might not be in grief and anguish, but the love of Father is there. And if you're online right now, you can feel it. You can know it. Just walk with him. He will show you it, especially in your time of need. Especially in your time of need. That's one reason we have a pocket prayer. I don't know if you've been kind of paying attention, but part of the pocket prayer that's formulating by what we're teaching is, Father, you are good, and tonight it's, I need help. That's a little pocket prayer right now. Father, you are good, and I need help. You know, they say, you know, a wing and a prayer. It's going to happen with a wing and a prayer. What type of prayer? Many years ago, I was on the mission field. I was doing church planting. We were in Germany. We were seeing so many people come to the Lord. We were seeing just hundreds and hundreds of some of these Arabs come to the Lord, Germans come to the Lord. It was just marvelous. But all of a sudden, our host church funds had all of a sudden stopped. And there was just this moment where, as a team of nine, we sat there and were like, all of our current assets are frozen, and we're in a little bit of a bind. And we sat together, and we began to pray, and there was just this, God, we need help. Because we could be, you know, our rent was due in our apartments. You know, we had grocery bills, we had things that we had to pay, and if we didn't, we would be kicked out of Germany. And it was just this moment of, God, we need help. And I remember I had left work. I had kind of closed down my business. I only had a limited amount of funds. And I remember pulling out my credit card and being like, God, you got to do something. And I'm giving it to them to charge. And they're charging it. And I'm like, I don't know how you're going to pay for that, but I got to eat. You know, that's where we were. You know, I needed to eat. This happened for like a week and a half. I didn't lack or go without. And a matter of fact, that bill on my credit card got paid. And not only that, but when the funds were released, we got more than we were supposed to. And God blessed us to be able to take care of our debts. That's the hand of God. When we're walking in alignment with him, when we're walking with him and we're praying his heart, he's ready to move on our behalf. It cannot be a place of a selfish prayer. It cannot be a place of, this is what I want. I don't know about you, but there's moments as a kid, it's like, you know what? I'm going to pray for a Corvette. I'm not going to outright knock Word of Faith movement. I was birthed and raised in the Word of Faith movement. There's good and healthy points of that, but there's also pieces that diverge, and it has to follow Scripture. Has to. But some of the prayers can be like, bless Lord, I'm believing for a Corvette, or I'm believing for a house. That's good. And I noticed that there are times where my mom would say, well, I'm believing for a new house, so then I'm going to play this particular house lottery, and I'm praying to God that I win. That's not praying. There are times where my mom would drive in the parking lot, and she would start driving around saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. I need a front row parking space. And she would drive around 5 times. Well, bless the Lord, if you drive around 5 times, you're apt to get a parking lot. But that's not because of the hand of God. So don't pray in vain as the heathens do, thinking they're going to be heard for their many words. Yes, God wants to pray for us. Yes, bless us. He wants to give us sometimes the front row parking. But you know, there's a blessing in walking. There's a blessing in walking. Hallelujah. Pocket prayers. Father, you are good. I need help. How many of you tonight, that's a prayer in your heart? Father, you are good. I need help. I need help. I need sleep. I need rest. Father, I need energy. Father, I need a financial breakthrough. Father, I need a breakthrough in a relationship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's with a family member. Father, I need breakthrough in my job. I need breakthrough in my health. Tonight, most of us, there's probably a cry in our hearts that's, God, I need help. And tonight, we're going to spend time praying. And I want you to take time to not only just pray for yourself, but pray. And we're going to make that opportunity to pray for each other as well. Because it's in the community. It's in the community. Do you ever wonder what the disciples did at the wedding of Cana? They saw Jesus do this great miracle. They got to partake of the blessing. In that, there's a testimony. I got to see Jesus. He turned some water into wine. It was the best wine of my life. I can only imagine what heavenly wine tastes like, because that probably was heavenly wine. Tonight, as a community, let's celebrate in those prayers of one another. Sometimes the thought can be, well, I got a little more important prayer than you. You have that health crisis. Well, I have thousands and thousands of dollars of debt. And then somebody over here is like, well, my marriage is falling apart, so I got you beat. It's not a contest to see how much help we need from the Lord. Let's bind together in community and pray and see each other walk with the Lord, because he wants to do that tonight. Would you go ahead and stand with me? We're going to close out tonight. We're going to pray. Father, would you just come alongside us tonight, for we need help. Holy Spirit, would you come into this room and each and every place. Those prayers that are so deep within us that we might not be able to utter out in either tongues or in a known language. Father, would you come into this place and meet us? There's a cry in our hearts tonight for you. We need help. So would you come tonight in Jesus' name? Amen and amen.